ahead and call this meeting back to order at 8:20. The next item on our agenda is an information report for the Local Control Accountability Plan update. Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, President Shoemaker. Program responsibility, I really want to commend Ms. Hawkins. This has been a team effort. She's had a tremendous committee work, long hours. I'll just say a small political point, only because I'm tired. But, you know, local control funding formula was all about local control. And they took all of our categorical money and they rolled it into LCFF so you as a board, your local representatives could control how those monies were spent. I will tell you, this LCAP document has grown and grown and grown. It almost feels like we have more restraints now than we had before. But that being said, the I's have been dotted, the T's have been crossed, and I want to commend Ms. Hawkins and her team, and she's going to take you through the LCAP.
Thank you, Dr. Hinman. Good evening, Board. I know we've talked about this before. I have a few review slides, and then I'm going to talk about the things that we accomplished this year, the actions that we had, and where we made some changes for the upcoming year.
We have one quick question. Is the colored version that we have here the same as
the same.
One?
The same. Okay.
Yep.
So you know that we have the LCFF, its connection to the LCAP and the adopted budget, which Dr. Coughlin is going to speak to tonight. It's a process that we go through. There's three major categories. We've talked about those in the past: the conditions for learning, the pupil outcomes, and the engagement of students and parents in the community. Those encompass the full 8 state priorities. So as Dr. Hinman was saying, the local control comes with some guidelines, so to speak. There are 4 major areas of student populations we need to focus on, which is low-income students or socioeconomically disadvantaged students, English learners, foster youth, and special education. And all of those have been addressed in our LCAP the last couple of years. These are our board goals, you know very well, that are reflective in our strategic plan. So let's talk a little bit about some accomplishments. In conditions of learning, because in the LCAP there are some metrics for measuring student performance that are sort of in flux right now because of the change in testing and the re-norming of those tests and setting new benchmark assessments. But we've accomplished a lot of things this year, and that's what these next 3 slides show, are a lot of the actions that are in the LCAP that we managed to accomplish. As you can see, our collaborative teams began to meet this year. We had 25 days of writing training for our K-8 teachers. Very proud of this. We purchased 700 Chromebooks and 250 replacement computers to replace outdated computers based on our technology plan that we had. We adopted an integrated math sequence and the textbooks to go with it. We adopted a dual immersion program, and we expanded our international baccalaureate program. And these all fit under the conditions of learning requirements under the 8 state priorities. Under pupil outcomes, while we haven't had formal state assessments, we have been looking at outcomes and things that we can measure for schools. We've had a rigorous curriculum design with Mr. Antonetti that you've all had the opportunity to be part of. We had some math camps with UCI and with Judy Keeney to help our students in the area of math and our teachers with those pieces. And then we really began a focus on EL pathways this year. Our major focus was in training teachers in how to use those strategies that go along with thinking maps. And then finally, we provided a lot of intervention activities this year, and we began to look at our pyramid of interventions or our response to interventions. In addition, one of the things that we heard most from parents was adding additional instructional assistance for our bilingual aides, and we added 4 of those this year. In the area of engagement, to engage students and families in the community, foster youth was a real important piece for the district last year and is an important part of the LCAP. We researched possible resources for foster youth, and we actually created a committee that met 4 times this year and began developing services and interventions for our foster youth specifically, as well as our homeless students and other at-risk students. We provided additional credit recovery options for students by looking at how we use Cyber High and reflecting on that and looking at how we would use software that would also be NC2A compliant, so we're looking at a new form of that software for the coming year. We provided additional coordinated counseling programs, and then we really began to look at our pyramid of interventions for behavior. So this was a year in the break of assessment where we were really examining our practices and trying to put some new programs into place. when you look at our accomplishments as far as student outcomes, again, conditions of learning, we adopted these pieces in these areas. Specifically, I want to talk about pupil outcomes in the English learner area. We met our annual measurable achievement objective. Number two, for our students that were enrolled less than 5 years, we made that target. Our reclass was 15%. Our original LCAP goal was to increase to 28%, which was 5% over our last goal. You can see that we missed that this year. We've done a lot of work with English learners. We still have work to do with our English learners, and so we've modified with the committee what our actual targets are, and so you'll see that the targets within the LCAP deal with things such as increasing aligned to the state and federal numbers rather than arbitrarily choosing 5%, 10%, 15% for increases. We also set a lot of baselines this year, and in the area of engagement, we were very excited. We set the baseline of 187 courses or classes or events that were offered across the district for parents with an average of 64 parents per session. Some parents' sessions didn't have more than maybe 20, but an average across them was about 64 parents per session. So we've got a nice baseline started. We started that committee, and we've managed to keep our attendance rate above 96%. Our stakeholder engagement this year, you remember last year we had the large public forum, which was required in LCAP, is to have the public engagement. We worked at the site level this year. All of our site administrators put together their action plans and reviewed them with their school site councils and their ELACs to develop those action plans based on the LCAP. We continue to meet with the LCAP Task Force Committee and brought them in several times this year from February to June to review the actions and look at where we were in the update, the accomplishments we've made and the actions we finished this year, and what we wanted to do in the future. The superintendent just finished his 100-day plan. That was our major piece, so like the public forum that we did last year, this was a major community outreach piece that we did. And then we've had the public comment period that you've heard this evening and via the internet. Major changes that were made to the LCAP for 15-16 was there was some combination of goals. If you remember last year, we started the LCAP right on the heels of finishing the strategic plan, which so many stakeholders had written, and they had five very strong areas in them. So we paid respect to that strategic plan by keeping specific areas within the LCAP. And we wound up with about 12 goals, which was the largest number of goals I had run into so far with my colleagues. In doing the update, it was very difficult to update 12 goals. Where some things seemed like they folded naturally together. So rather than having a separate English language arts strand and a separate goal on English language arts achievement, we took the actions of having English language arts curricular work put together with the English language arts achievement. The actions are all still there because they all drive forward with students being successful in English language arts. And so you can see where we have combined a couple of goals. We've refined our metrics. We use increases in state targets rather than arbitrary percentages. We maintained programs and funding of summer school, CalSafe, counseling support, music and arts programs are also part of that, although not mentioned here on this slide. We have our site interventions and our SC funding for site interventions and district interventions. We've kept that piece whole within this. And then our commitment to professional development and technology. With all of the new programs that the board has recently adopted, there's lots of staff development behind that, and thank you, we've kept that and managed to maintain that. And then we've added new programs like IB and Dual. We've added 14 TOSAs for next year as part of our LCAP. That's been a huge undertaking. We're adding more bilingual aids. I'm sorry, Mr. Siemens, head's in the way. and an SRO program for our school safety. And those are the changes that the committee has made for the coming year. Any questions?
Ms. Miranda Jimenez? Oh, do you have questions?
I did. I was going to say, wow, that was really good. Thank you. I know your department, all the departments, but your department has been overwhelming. You look amazing for having gotten no sleep all year.
Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you. because it's overachieving in this district, which is wonderful. You were mentioning on the slide, and I wanted to ask tonight, and I'm sorry I should have called ahead, but you were saying some of the things that we did not achieve were, I'm sorry, I did not catch that. Some of the things where we were being a little too ambitious.
For example, the piece where we talk about with English learners with our reclassification amount, we made 23% last year of a reclassification, and right. in the LCAP last year, we determined that we would increase whatever we did 5% over the year before, which would make us have to be at 28%, and we're actually only at 15 this year.
Okay. I didn't see that piece. We were supposed to be at 28. Our target was 20, but we were actually at 15. Okay, thank you. And
that was a self-imposed target. That was not a state target.
What were some of the others on our LCAP that we didn't hit? And again, this is not this is all baseline for us, as Dr. Hinman said.
Our student achievement in language arts and math, we don't have the benchmarks to measure them that way, and we don't have the CASP data yet. So it's not that we didn't hit them. I just can't report on them at this time.
Okay, and I'm glad to see. I'm glad to see we went up 3.89% in our A through G, but again, when you see that number up there big on the screen, it still looks abysmally low, but I know it's going to move up. So mm-hmm. That was it. Thank you for all the accomplishments to remind us of what we have done. Like I said, again, thanks to your department, because I know how hard you've all worked. So thank you.
It's the team.
I did call with my questions, and I appreciate all the time you spent with me and how you clarified many things. One of the things I was we had spoke about was I was concerned about combining the foster youth
mm-hmm.
and them being lost
mm-hmm.
in. And then you suggested that mm-hmm. We may be able to track them independently. They would still be the same goal. But you were going, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper that I don't know what I did with.
Yeah.
that we could look at all three categories separately. So then, when it came back, we were going to see the data, or we could, if the board agreed, to see the data on each subgroup.
So let me address the combination, and then I can address the metrics. So last year we had two separate goals, one for parent involvement and one for foster youth, and we had different metrics that we would track both of them on. But when the committee looked at those goals, they noticed that a lot of the metrics that we would use were in the same place. And just purely for reporting purposes, it made more sense to combine them into one goal because they seem to be serving very similar populations, and then keep any unique actions that we were going to do under the original goals under the new goal. So the actions for foster youth have not been lost, nor have the actions for parent involvement been lost. They're all under the 1D goal. So in my conversation with Trustee Polis this afternoon, there is a metric in there that talks about measuring ILPs quarterly. And we talked about the possibility of putting in information about being specific to the subgroups of foster youth, socioeconomically disadvantaged, and EL students, and collecting data specific to those three groups, and adding that as a qualifier in the metric section.
And the reason I was requesting that is I believe foster youth is only 2%. So they could very easily be lost, and we could say we're successful, and not one of the foster children could have been served in any way. And I wanted to make sure that didn't happen. And I know Ms. Hawkins would not let it happen.
Nope.
But if we were all gone, would the intent still be there? And if we get that written in, I think they'll know what our intent was. And so I'm hoping we can make that change.
Yes, two quick questions. The CASP data, do you have any idea when that will be arriving?
We recently got reported that we should be getting it within the next 30 days. There's preliminary data, but it's not complete enough to do anything with, even though you hear rumor of it. We've taken a look at it. So we're hoping in the next 30 days, and typically we would do a board report on that early in the school year once we've received it.
Okay. Secondly, the classroom visitation protocol, is that something that's part of the formal evaluation process?
No, it is not.
Is that like an informal observation tool?
It's an informal staff development tool, actually, and another means of collecting data on what's happening in the classroom in addition to classroom assessment data. So it's another tool that we use as staff development. Mr. Antonetti has been working with the principals and a cohort group of teachers on this. We'll be working with a group of our TOSAs for next year so we can begin to take teachers on the, through the classroom. I've been trained in that and been working with a lot of the principals and the school sites, taking West Covina High, trained all of Merced's teachers. We've walked through the classrooms to begin to talk to students and examine student work to see, is it meeting the rigor that we think it is when we're planning it? So it's really a teacher tool. It's not an evaluative tool or an administrative tool.
So it'll be implemented for the 15-16 school
more
year?
More extensively, yes.
Okay. Is that something you could share with the board? Or?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you.
President Shoemaker, before we move on, if I could get some clarification. Trustee Polis asked for an addition to the LCAP. Can we do that in the timeline we have?
It's only a change to the metric, and so, yes, we can change the,
okay.
the metric
and do we
with
need
what we have.
Approval
they take,
to do that?
They take action on it when it's
okay.
put in. It's for public comment.
Okay. And while Dr. Coughlin's setting up, Mr. Menares, just real quick on that point about the walkthroughs, the minute a teacher sees that as an evaluative process, it ends. And it's a waste of everyone's time. It really has to, going back to that collegial piece of, you know, if you do better on a common assessment than I, if I feel like I'm going to be judged by that, I'll never go talk to you. So that's part of that environment piece, and I'll commend her for that as well.
Ms. Polis?
I know that the arts weren't specifically mentioned in the LCAP, but what I heard you say at the beginning of this meeting, if it's not written down, then if there's not accountability for it. For the people that really want to make sure that the arts stay in the forefront, and we don't want to make the LCAP any more cumbersome than it already is, how can we do that so they're assured that that it means a lot to us? And they've heard us all say that.
What I would recommend, if you're asking, is that when we sit together and we put the LCAP here, but and as equal important a document, and I would even probably argue more important as far as public perception and school site perception, are the board goals for 15-16. If you were to write that in those board goals, it would actually be more prominent than buried in the LCAP somewhere, and that we're going to be doing some more work together on that.
Which it is. It's that last goal in that last box.
Yes, but we could highlight it so to make sure that it becomes more highlighted. Yes.
Okay. That would be my recommendation.
Okay. So I provided this for the board, and there's just a couple no dollar changes. I'm sorry.
Really quickly, just for the record, we are moving on to item number 21, which is an information report regarding the 2015-2016 proposed budget.
Now we can go. What I provided to the board on your board packet is this presentation. There were just a couple changes, nothing to the numbers, just some typographical changes, but everything else is pretty much the same. On the first page here, this is everything that's in the report. We talk about the assumptions. I'm going to go over all of these, the revenue expenditures, ending balances, multi-year projections, and other district funds. Everyone knows what your responsibility is. You need to adopt a budget by June 30th. All things are indicating that the state will adopt theirs June 15th, and the governor will sign it by June 30th, so things are looking pretty good there. Want to focus on some of these assumptions. These are the assumptions that we use to build the budget in the current year and the following 2 years. This enrollment is down, so we have budgeted for a lower enrollment. We want to see what happens in 16-17 and 17-18. We have kept it flat, but we will adjust accordingly at first interim if the numbers come in lower. We figure on about a attendance rate of 97.67% with attendance recovery. The statutory COLA is given to us by the state. It will fluctuate quarterly. This is what the governor proposed at the May revise, was a 53.08% gap funding. School services recommends using that. We'll know for sure when he signs the budget if that is the actual funding. It could be the same, it could be less, it could be more. For supplemental concentration, you know, our dollars are going up, and out of the money we receive from LCFF, $11.8 million needs to go towards supplemental and concentration activities. So we are receiving about an extra $3 million or so more, and that's going to the increased services we're providing for foster youth, EL students, and low-income students. And these are the lottery numbers that we're receiving per ADA. Those are set by the state. Next year is, this is always a component, certificated step and column increase. This is all certificated teachers and administrators. We do need to put in there, even though if no raise is given, we still increase our budget by $737,000 for certificated, and it goes up each year. Classified step increase is $198,000 for next year. We, at this point in time, the district's contribution for health and welfare is at $8,000. And as we've reported in the last years, the STRS and PERS rates and what the district is having to contribute is going up dramatically. The state is putting in more money. Individual employees are also having to pay more. Their contribution will be going up, not as dramatic as the district. But you can see here, for STRS this year, we contributed the district $3.18 million. Next year, 4.18. It goes up $1 million. Then the following year, 800,000, up to 5.8. This caps out close to 20%. So by the time we're done, if all salaries stayed the same, district's contribution would be about $8 million, where before it was $3 million. It's money that's coming off the table. It has to be paid, and those are the increases. With PERS, not as large of an increase, but you can see it is going up about $300,000 next year, $400,000, and then a slight increase there.
Dr. Copeland, if I may, I just want to point out, you know, when the STRS change came forward, I know the board's aware of this, but I just want to publicly say it. Obviously, it's going to affect the employee because they'll have to contribute more. It's going to affect the district, and obviously that's not new money, so that's going to affect our ability to function and negotiate as well. I think it's important to note that, and I was shocked by this, but CTA actually signed on to that change, and they approved that funding stream go to heal STRS because it inevitably would have been defunded. So that does cause a greater strain on our ability to move the district forward.
So when we look at next year, one of the things we have to do is figure out where do we think we're going to end up this year. Our total revenue this year is $93.02 million, and next year the revenue is projected to be $14 million higher. I'm going to go break that down a little bit so you can see that some of it is one-time money, some of it is ongoing money, so I will be breaking that down. As you can see here, the gap funding increased $10.5 million. Now, keep in mind, out of that $10.5 million, that about $4 million of that needs to go towards supplemental concentration. So it's not all available for activities outside of supplemental concentration. The one-time discretionary money is $601 per ADA. That's one-time money, $5.3 million. Some of our other funds are going down. MA funding, we're estimating, will go down $130,000, decrease in local revenue, and it's some decrease in some state revenue. Overall, restricted revenue will be going down $605,000. We'll have some increase in Title I, II, and III, a little increase in state funding for special ed, and a decrease in some SELPA revenue of $252,000 based on some ADA and expenses there. So overall, revenue goes up $14 million. expenditures at this point in time, again, we've budgeted in the step and column. We've budgeted in the STIRS and the PERS increase, the cost of living increases. Our utilities go up. Our expenditures go up $3.58 million next year. Books and supplies goes down a little bit because it doesn't have some carryover in it. Services and other operating expenses, this is your utilities, consultants, it's about the same. So when we look at this for our year, we're estimating that we started the year with $17 million. We're estimating we'll end with about $18 million. That's a surplus of about $1 million. Again, we are in the middle of negotiations still, and we have not, as far as I know, we have not settled for 14-15. If anything were to come out of that, that would be affected right there.
I can tell you we have not settled.
We have not settled. Thank you. Last year, we were in a similar situation, and after we did settle, we had a balanced budget last year. This year, I know that is the charge, to have a balanced budget, to not deficit spend, and we're in a position that we will not be deficit spending. Next year, revenue is $101.65 million. The one-time money is this $5.38 million, and I wanted to separate it out. So you can see that the ongoing revenue goes up about $8.6 million. Expenditures go up $3.5 million. We need to keep focusing on this. It's one-time money. You can't spend the same dollar twice. I cannot give away $5 million and expect to give it away every year. It's one-time money. So we need to be mindful of that. As we look at our ending balance, right now, the ending balance for next year will go up because we have those things assigned. Again, the budget is not final until the governor signs it. So on paper right now, it does look as if the ending balance will go up. Keep in mind, we're not settled for this year, and we're not settled for next year. Also keep in mind that $5 million of that increase is one-time money. When you look at the multi-year projections, you'll see that revenue goes up about $2 million, but expenditures go up $3 million. Expenditures are going to be going up faster than revenue, ongoing revenue, in the future. Ongoing expenditures will go up faster than ongoing revenue. Why is ongoing expenditures going up? STIRS and PERS, step and column increases. They're built in, so we need to be mindful of that. We were talking about the general fund. Some of the other funds that we need to focus on, there's four. There's the cafeteria fund, which started the year with a very large balance, $3.8 million, and they had a charge to spend that balance down. They bought a lot of equipment, a lot of machinery, and needed to spend that money down. If not, they were going to have to give it back to the state, or they wouldn't get any more money. So we've made a lot of improvements there. The building fund, the bond fund, this $4.5 million is over at Rio Verde. We're projecting that it'll have an ending balance next year of about $500,000. Actually, that'll be down to zero. Capital facility funds, this is our developer fee funds. You can see where we're buying this year the portable buildings. It's pretty much this is how much we bring in, and this is what we spend each year. Those funds can only be used for certain activities. Capital outlay funds, these are for your buses, your servers, your trucks. These are one-time expenditures, and there's $3.5 million there. Our next step that we have to do is we'll come back on the 23rd. There may be some slight changes to this budget based on what happens in Sacramento, and the board will adopt this budget on June 23rd. If there are any changes, we come back in August. Possibly July or August, and the board would update those revisions. So with that, are there any questions?
I got one question.
Mr. Fowles? One question.
On the building fund with the Bulldogs, so we're going to repaint and refixture this gym again?
This gym, 3 years ago, the gym was inside, was all redone with the floor. It's a big project. There are no plans this year to paint the outside of the school, but that is down the road in the next couple years.
And you said, so the end of the bond money will be gone.
The bond money will be gone, and we've used that for many projects, for many facility projects. So when that money's gone, that money's gone.
So there will be no more funds.
There will be no more bond funds, correct.
Say word.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Excellent, thank you.
Any other Board of Education discussion?
Yes.
Ms. Miranda Jimenez?
Very quickly, Dr. Herman, I apologize. Mr. Flowers, thank you so much for bringing up Senator Hernandez's Education Roundtable. I've got a folder for you of the material covered. The two things that they talked about was the budget, of course, and we just discussed the budget here, so a lot of the things they covered were some of the things that Dr. Coghlan said. But the other thing that they said, and you said, don't reinvent the wheel if another district is doing something successful. They had a speaker from LAUSD come and talk about foster youth and how they had to dramatically change their program in order to meet the needs of foster youth. And they had to put a lot of different infrastructure in place. And they came with a lot of data to show how significant their improvements were. So that is captured in the folder. So I will bring it to your office when I come sign for CSBA. So I apologize. I picked a copy up for you. And if there was anything in there to glean as we're serving foster youth in our district, it was all done with public funds at LAUSD.
Great.
So, yes, it was a very good roundtable. So thank you, Mr. Flowers, for bringing that up. I forgot it in my notes. I overlooked it.
Any other discussion? Okay, there will be no further discussion. Dates to remember, June 23rd, 2015 is the next Board of Education meeting. There being no further business to come before the board, the regular meeting of June 9th, 2015 is adjourned at 8:15.